Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Always be negative. Be positive. This is a great country. Got some problems, but it's a great country, and I thank God every day. So we have an election that is important, and there will be consequences from that election. But that's not the election that I'm talking about today. I'm talking about an election that is far more superior to the election that we're going to have Tuesday. And the reason why is the election that we have Tuesday, regardless of the results, is temporal. It's just going to be a while. It's temporary. But the call in the election that Peter is writing about here is eternal. It's curious that he uses that word election, the calling that precedes your election. He said, make your calling and election sure. What is the election? The Bible calls the church the elect. It calls Israel the elect. It calls believers the elect. So when he says, make your calling and election, he's saying, make sure you're in the church. Make sure you're in the bride. Make sure when you die, you're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. Make sure if Christ comes in your lifetime, you're going to be a part of the rapture. Make sure. And he said you do that with diligence. Diligence. The word diligent comes from the Latin word diligere, which means to value highly or take delight in. In English, the word diligence always means careful and hardworking. Are you making sure that your election is established? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt? I've got a friend that lives like the devil, and she assures me every time she doesn't go to church, she goes through lots of marriages, she has a lot of drinking parties, she just lives a bad life. But she assures me that no matter what anybody says, she's going to heaven. I hope she's right. But she's asking me to take her word over the word of God. Because the word of God gives us a lifestyle that has an effect on our election. And she's not living that lifestyle. So make sure that you are prepared. Make it sure. I'm not prepared to trust my election, my eternal election, to the polls. There are a lot of polls out there going on right now. They'll tell you today who's going to win Tuesday, and a lot of those polls will not be right. They will be wrong. I'm not prepared to leave my election to the polls of popular opinion or what general Christianity is. They tell me that all you've got to do is go to a Franklin Graham crusade in a football stadium, lift your hands and say, I love Jesus, and you can live like the devil the rest of your life, and you'll go to heaven. That's what the polls say. I'm not prepared for that. I just want to make sure that my election is sure. So I not only lifted my hand, I repented. I not only repented, I got baptized. I not only got baptized, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I not only got filled with the Holy Spirit, I became a part of God's church, His bride. I'm just not taking chances with my election. I'm a giver. I'm a tither. I'm faithful. I not only come to church, I pray every day. I read the scripture every day. What are you doing? I'm making sure that my calling and election is sure. I don't want to be in denial. Donald Trump is in denial. He still says he's president. Miss Abrams in Atlanta, Georgia, she says she's governor. She's not governor, and he's not president. And there's a lot of Christians that are making the claim they are when they're not. Just saying it is not enough. God gives us a real roadmap. And Jesus said in that day and that time, he said, there will be many that will come to me and say, Jesus, we cast out devils in your name. We healed the sick. We did many wonderful works in your name. And Jesus said, you didn't make your call and election sure. Cast them out. I never knew them. And I've shared with you before that new, when you search out the word, I never knew you. It goes back all the way back from the Hebrew, from the Greek to the Hebrew, where Abraham knew Sarah. That meant he had a relationship with Sarah that produced an Isaac. And so what Jesus said, I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you that produced anything. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it will produce a fruitful life. And if you don't have a fruitful life in Christ, you're not in any way confusing me. You are simply deceiving yourself. The Apostle Paul said, deceive not yourself, examine yourself. I don't have time to examine everybody else. And people ask me all the time about so-and-so. Do you think Donald Trump was a Christian? I didn't see evidence of that, but that's not my call. That's not my call. You military people understand the term. That's just above my pay grade. I'm a preacher. I'm not a judge. And so don't ask me about your salvation. Just ask me what the Bible says, and I will tell you. But you've got to make up your own mind, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and make sure that your calling and election is sure. Elect, it's a synonym for bride or church or chosen. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody in this building is called, and I hope that everybody is chosen. But you are the one that decides whether you're going to be elected or not, whether you're going to be chosen or not. Called means you are drawn, but chosen means you're elected. You're now a part of the body of Christ. And if we make our calling and election sure, it gives us posture and place in the Lord. It gives us a place in the Lord. If you're not in Christ's place, I'm concerned that your calling and election is not sure. Let me just show you what I mean. People will be elected Tuesday, but they don't automatically go into office. There is a time before they go into office. And then they say this, he is a sitting president. He is a sitting senator. She is a sitting representative. If you are calling an election sure, and I don't have time to go through these all, but let me start. If you are in Christ, if you're called an election sure, you are now seated. Where am I seated? You're seated at the table of provision, number one. What does that mean? David talked about it when he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Friend, I am seated at the table. That's the reason why I tell you it doesn't matter whether Donald Trump's in the White House or Joe Biden's in the White House. I'm still going to sit at the table and somebody's still going to give me something to eat. Why? Because my calling and election is sure. I'm seated. I'm sitting today at the table of provision. Number two. I am seated with him in heavenly places. I watched as God moved in this service just a few moments ago. And all over this building, people were enraptured by the presence and the power of God. There were tears on your cheeks. There was ecstasy on your face. Nobody told you your hands are in the air. Why is that? It's because what's inside of you. And the fact that you have made sure that your calling election is established. It's sure. There's probably somebody, I didn't see them, there was probably somebody that got nothing out of what was happening. I know there's people all over San Antonio that if they had been here, they would not have only not gotten anything out of this, they would have got up and left because it's foreign to them. It's not a football game. It's not a basketball team. It's not a political rally. They are just not spiritual. And they would say, what's going on? But to we that are spiritual, we're not only set at the table of provision. The Bible said we're made together, set together in heavenly places. I am literally as enjoying heaven as I'm going to when I get there. It's just a taste. It's called the earnest of our inheritance. That's one way you test yourself is, am I at the table of provision? And am I sitting together in a heavenly place? If you don't like to go to church, you're not going to enjoy heaven too much. And I don't think God is ever going to impose a residence on anybody that doesn't want to be there. If you don't want to go together, if you don't want to come to God's house and fellowship with me, and you don't want to come and fellowship with these wonderful people, and if you've got all kinds of excuses why you'd rather be in a sailboat than you would in a heavenly place, you're not going to enjoy heaven at all. And God's not going to force you to be there. But ladies and gentlemen, God knows I love heavenly things. And he is busily preparing a place for me because I have made my calling and my election sure. That's the people that I want to pastor. People that make their calling and election sure. I want everybody in this city to have an opportunity to make your calling and election sure. Number three, seated at the table of the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's going to be a real event. Jesus gave us a story about how that great marriage feast was prepared. And he invited people to come, and they did not come. And Jesus said, if they don't want to come, they don't have to come. But go out in the highways and the byways and find people that do. Nobody's going to go to heaven mad. Everybody that's going to heaven is glad. Nobody's going to go to heaven in a headlock. Nobody's going to be saved in a chokehold. This is for people that gladly receive the word, that are hungry, and they say, I have made my calling and my election sure. And so Jesus said that there was one man that was there. And Jesus did not denounce him as not being a nice person. He said, friend, how camest thou into this supper and you don't have the wedding garment on? Jesus is the same way. Jesus does not want anybody to be lost. Jesus does not want anybody not to go to heaven, but it's their choice. God has not imposed his will on any human since Adam and Eve, and he's still not doing it. Friend, where is your garment? I'm sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb in type every time I come to church. I've put off the spirit of heaviness. I have on a garment of praise, and I'm layered. Not only do I have a garment of praise, if you peel off my garment of praise, I have a garment of righteousness. I have layered apparel. I'm dressed for the occasion. I know where I'm going. I knew whom I have believed. My calling and election is sure. It's not affected by Hollywood. It's not affected by the White House. It's not affected by the State House. It's not even affected by religion. Praise God, in him I live and move and have my being. I talk to him every day. He is no stranger to me, nor am I any stranger to him. I don't have to get ready. I am ready. I don't have to dress for the occasion. I sleep in the garment because, praise God, my mind is made up that this world is temporary, that Tuesday is temporary. But praise God, this Sunday is eternal, and Wednesday is eternal, and every day of my life is eternal, and every second of my life is eternal. And number four, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I've heard the voice, and the voice called me. He said, but if you have an ear, I have an ear. Can you hear the voice of God? I think it would be a terrible life to live in a world that is jumbled up with noise, not to have an ear to hear the voice of God. God speaks to me every day. Some days he said, attaboy. Some days he said, you're doing great. Some days he said, that's great. Some days he said, Steve, that's a mistake. You shouldn't have done that. Repent, change it, let's do this over. That's one thing about God. He has a history of me giving me do-overs. I do over every day. Every day I die daily. Every day. So I have an ear. I can hear what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit says, come. What does it say? It says, come with me in prayer. It says, come to me and worship. It says, come with me and fellowship with my people. Come to my house. I hear what the Spirit says. But in Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, do you have an ear? Do you ever hear God? Does God ever say, you shouldn't have done that? Does God ever convict you? You say, well, everything God says to me is just good. Then you don't hear everything God's saying because everything you're doing ain't good. And God will tell you. He won't cut your head off. He won't jump up and down on your fingers. He won't cast you away, but he will correct you. And you'll feel better for having been corrected. I had parents like that. My parents were disciplinarians, and they corrected me. But in a little while, I'd always be glad they did. That carries over into my spirituality. God corrects me. And at the moment, I might be a little disenchanted, but eventually I'm saying, God, thank you so much that you love me enough to chastise me, because you said a father that doesn't love his children will not chastise them. So sometimes I hear the Spirit and he says, not right, do it over. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. The calling to him that overcometh, the election will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him that overcometh, I am an overcomer. How? Two things. By the blood of the Lamb. You can't stop there, ladies and gentlemen. That's where the Christian world wants to stop. I'm an overcomer by the blood. Part two. There's a sequel. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. In other words, your lifestyle. The Greek word for lifestyle is conversation. That comes out of your mouth, the way you live, the way you talk. You can't use the F word and please God. You can't have bitterness in your mouth and please God. You can't be critical and please God. You can't criticize your brother and sister and please God. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure that your calling and election is sure. To him that overcometh, and I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Not only did I get saved, but every day I put my foot on the devil's head and say, you're under my feet and God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? God is on my side. To him that overcometh. In other words, you make your calling and election sure. Will I grant, this is what he said, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what your preacher says. It doesn't matter what your friend thinks. You've got to answer for yourself. Is my calling and election sure? And there's not a one of us, if we will be honest with ourselves, that doesn't know the answer to that question. I could be, I should be, but I'm not. That's not good enough. It has to be, I've made up my mind that I am an overcomer. I have overcome the world and the devil by the blood of the Lamb and my lifestyle. And every day I'm a praising, glorifying Jesus freak. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what people think. I don't care what the religion says. I am sold out to Jesus Christ. And election day, praise God, when it comes, there is going to be a sweep into the kingdom of God. I'm not going to be in denial. It is going to be a testimony. What I knew happened. He changed this mortal body. I'm not looking forward to a coffin, but if it happens, I believe I go out the back door. I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ. Either way, I'd rather go linked arm in arm with Becky. I'd rather go with you as a group. I don't want to take an Uber to heaven. I want to go in a busload. But if Jesus decides I'm going to go in an Uber, I can go all by myself because I've been washed in the blood, filled with his Spirit. And praise God, my calling and election is sure. Would you stand on your feet, lift both hands, and shout as loud as you can, my calling and election is sure. My calling and election is sure. My calling and election is sure. Look at somebody and say, my calling and election is sure. My calling and election is sure. Praise God. If you're here today and you don't know whether it is or not, this altar is open to you right now. Make a mad dash. Praise God. They're making a mad dash. All the past presidents are out today campaigning for the candidate of their party. They're making a mad dash to the election. But ladies and gentlemen, when that day comes, there won't be any time. You won't have time. You've got time right now. If you're not sure, I want you to walk down this altar and just say, Jesus Christ, I want you to remove any doubt and any fear. And I want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I'm in your hand. And you will never say to me, depart from me, I never knew you. If you're in this building, would you do that? If you are sure, if you're sure that your calling and election is sure, and you just want to give God praise and thanks, you just want to practice a little bit, this altar is open to you. You just want to come down here and say, thank God. I want everybody to know, not only was I the candidate, not only was I the call, but praise God, I'm living victoriously every day in the Lord. And I just want to come to the front of this church and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There ought to be a victory party.